Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Edit Your Life podcast. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
We share practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection.
And we believe that baby steps are the key to getting there.
Good morning, Asha. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I am sitting here in a little bit of disbelief. We're just a couple weeks out from the end of 2020. I can only imagine many people are thinking, thank goodness this year is finally over almost.
I have a feeling many millions of people are thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have especially appreciated seeing the 2020 dumpster fire Christmas ornaments, photos of those circulating around. It's very, very in my lane. This is our last official episode of 2020. So I just thought it would be a good time to reflect. You know, I think it's a year with lots of feelings. And honestly, it was in order to get my thoughts around this, I went to my Instagram feed to look back and remind myself what happened BP before pandemic.
Right.
And a lot happened. There was a lot of good that happened this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a strange thing. You know, my sort of reflection process was a little different. And, in some ways this year really does feel like it feels like a whole lifetime. And I say that not even with the requisite joke about how 1 week feels like 1 year in 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really does feel like a lifetime. And I mean, maybe it kind of has been a lifetime. I feel like we are all living a new life. And granted, it's temporary. You know, we're not going to be living a pandemic life forever. But I think we've all had experiences, that have probably changed the way the future is going to go for us forever. So reflection feels really different this year, but it was I'm so glad we're doing this and that I actually took a moment to reflect because it was a really good exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say just straight up that one of the things that I've been rather struck by is that this year has been very revealing. I feel like never before have people's decision-making and true selves been just revealed by what's happening in the world. In some ways, that's been good and amazing, and in some ways, not so great. I'm talking about myself personally here, too, so we'll cover it a little bit more later, but I just feel like life equals humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's... yeah. Well, I feel like in some ways... I mean, it's Edit Your Life writ large. You know, mm-hmm. we have all been come face to face in so many ways with the things that are important to us. And and like you said, I think, none of us have asked to come here, but it has been so revealing. And, it's sort of interesting for me. I mean, and we'll talk about this throughout the episode. You know, my year really has been such a journey, through grief and other things. And so I haven't, I feel like I haven't exactly been awake throughout the whole year because I've really been contending with, with big things. But, as the year's coming to a close and I'm sort of, in some ways getting back to normal a little bit more, I'm feeling these little glimmers, like these little it's almost like pre-learning. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm about to learn something big. My brain just can't handle it yet, but because we're still in it. But mm-hmm. I feel like I do feel that feeling, like there will come a time when I look back on this and say, oh yeah, like that's when I realized some of the most important things I'll ever realize. So I feel like that learning is up ahead in the future. It may not be here yet. Mm-hmm. But it is humbling, and I hope there's going to be some positive lessons that come out of it someday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, let's get started. I want to ask you the first question of this episode, Asha. Mm-hmm. What was your most people-y experience pre-pandemic, BP?
Okay. So this was so fun to think about, my most people-y experience, because, well, I mean, it was fun, but it was also like, you know, well, let me just tell you what it was. My daughter Mirabai was the lead in the high school musical last spring. She was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
She was radiant. She was just radiant.
She was, I mean, it was the most magnificent thing. And I'll just frame it a little bit for you in that, my father died on February 7th and the musical was in mid-March. And so I spent a month at my mom's house, helping my mom and doing stuff at home. And we came from my parents live in the Bay Area, California. We came from the Bay Area to Portland to see Mirabai in The Wizard of Oz with the idea that, okay, we'll come back and see it, watch her do her thing, and then we'll go back because there was a lot more to do. And, you know, this was right before the pandemic. So we did not know that we were going to get trapped here because of the lockdown. So that was sort of the lead up. So, you know, no pandemic. It was sort of this strange possible thing happening in other parts of the world. And, you know, my mom and I had just been through this, we were really in shock in some ways. And so that moment was not only just a fun moment, but it was literally this moment where we could just be surrounded by music and joy and seeing my daughter just, you know, there was a moment where she was just by herself on the stage singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And, you know, she's this person with this amazingly strong voice. And it was just, I mean, it was magnificent. And I have often throughout the entire year, like transported myself back to that seat in that mm-hmm. theater just so I could be there. Mm-hmm. So that moment will always, I mean, it would have been in a normal year, it still would have been special to me, but now it was really special.
That's lovely.
What about you? What was your most people-y experience pre-pandemic?
By far. I mean, actually, a bunch of people-y things happened in February, and I'll talk about one of the other ones later. But by far, the most people-y experience was in February. I took Violet to her first Celtics game. So that's like me, us, and, you know, I think roughly 20,000 other people. So it's pretty people-y. And I look at the pictures now and just feel so happy thinking about that moment. And also just want to gag thinking like, oh my gosh, we were around that many people. Like it's just, the context is just totally different. But I do want to just, since you provided a little backstory, just a fun little bit about that experience is my sister, who she lives in corporate world and, you know, has access to corporate things. And so had offered us the tickets in the corporate box, and that came complete with like fancy parking pass so we could just drive in and park. And it was really fun. And we invited, it was four tickets. So we invited one of I's, it's like a lovely pairing of friends. Like she's good friends with the daughter. I'm good friends with the mom. So it was like a real fun mom and daughter outing. And, and their teacher, the girl's teacher that year, is a huge basketball fan. So, you know, we took pictures next to, and Larry Bird fan. So we took pictures near like, you know, Larry Bird stuff and, you know, sent them to him. And it was just, it was crazy. It was a huge crowd. And I really am not sure I will ever be able to do that again for a very long time. So.
Oh man, I totally would have been your like basketball box buddy.
I know. It was so fancy. Fun. I love fancy. I have to admit, I do love like the like fancy things. I don't do them all the time, obviously, but like I do like it. And, you know, it was so funny because one other little funny moment, you know, the lady You don't get up to get your concessions. The people come and take your order for the concessions in the fancy box.
Of course.
So there was like an ice cream sandwich on the menu or something. And we were like, and I was like, are you kidding me? $15 for an ice cream sandwich? Oh, of course we're going to get them, you know, for the girls. And they were literally the size of the kids' heads. They were not like your typical rectangular ice cream sandwich. They were like literally the size of a plate. So there were just a lot of fun little moments in that.
Super night. Fun. Yeah. My dad was a Celtics fan.
Ooh.
So I grew up watching Larry Bird, believe me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And anyway, yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up watching him, but I mean, I knew about basketball through my dad.
Cool. That's very cool. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to dig into stuff about the pandemic, and we will do that after a quick break.
People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT. Especially in this digital age, since we're well beyond handwritten journals and letters to convey history, the preservation of stories is so important, especially from the moms and mom figures in our lives. And if you've been looking for a way to collect those stories but aren't sure how to start, I have a recommendation for you. Storyworth makes it easy. Every week, they email a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? And what aspects of having children didn't turn out the way you expected? Your loved one responds to that email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails as they are submitted. And after 1 year, Storyworth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. A friend recently shared how moving it was that her mom gifted copies of her Storyworth album to immediate family members, a genius idea for expanding the preservation and sharing of those stories to people in different households and generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase.
All right, friends, we're back. And we are sort of swapping questions, thinking about moments from 2020. And I have a question.
Okay.
I want to ask you, Christine, what has been the hardest thing about the pandemic for you?
Well,
you know, we'll just start it nice and light.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the big one is not seeing people and not in the normal way, not seeing people's faces.
Yeah.
I think two things that I'll point out just because I think I wasn't prepared for how difficult they would be. One was adjusting to remote learning in the fall. I thought that the spring, I'm now realizing, was really emergency learning. It wasn't true remote learning. Mm-hmm. And the fall was just terrible. It wasn't even so much the kids. It was me. It was me figuring out, like, okay, how do I work full time, juggle the kids, handle this new puppy we have? I mean, all things that, like, were not terribly surprising, but I think being the point person for everything all day while things were so, you know, all over the place was very difficult. And I was not prepared. You know me, I'm like, okay, I'll develop a punch list. I'll develop a plan. We'll make it work. I was not prepared for how difficult that was. So that was hard. And then I would say, and this is looping back to the humbling thing I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, I think through the pandemic and then also through election season,
developing a new level of anger at people I don't know, which did not feel good. Like, that's not who I like to be or who I think I am. I generally try to be somebody who feels deep empathy and feels like, okay, every person is like multidimensional, et cetera, et cetera. But I found myself very angry. And that was not, that's not my favorite. Anger has characteristically been a very scary space for me due to my growing up and the anger that I saw and experienced. So that was hard. That was hard. How about you?
Yeah. Gosh, so much to say. I mean, there's plenty I could say too, you know, and I think, you know, at this point I've talked quite a lot about grief. So I think that clearly has been the hardest thing for me. You know, going through the grief over my dad's death without the ability to sort of hang on to the routines and the regular sources of connection that, you know, one has when it's not a pandemic. So, you know, I've talked about that before, but I think, you know, one of the other things that I just really got to reflect on as we were doing this is to really think about the political manipulation of this pandemic. That has been, to me, one of the hardest, most mind-boggling things, actually, is that somehow or another, mask wearing and even the vaccines and just the general public safety steps that we're all needing to take have been so unbelievably politicized. And, you know, politicized intentionally by people who are trying to maintain power. I just find that to me has just been, it's been not only infuriating, but it's been a tragedy because so many, I mean, this is causing obviously thousands of casualties. I mean, I didn't think that was really possible. I mean, I thought a lot was possible politically, but I didn't think it was possible to manipulate a public health emergency the way that it has happened. And that has been, for me, one of the hardest things.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's move to positive things. What have been the best things about the pandemic? Have there been any?
Yeah. Isn't that a strange thing? I mean, it's a hard question to answer in some ways, but at the same time, there really have been some things that I think, you know, I'm not going to use exactly positive words, but again, that are lessons that I think will have positive effects on, you know, our lives going forward. I know for me, you know, I talked about how, you know, it's been difficult to go through grief without, you know, the sort of usual social connection and all of that, that I, you know, would lean on. You know, at the same time, there has been in my life this space to withdraw and withdraw in a good way, to just sort of be quiet and heal and understand that the rest of the world has slowed down on some level. So, I mean, you know, again, it's not good, but it has also, but it has been helpful. You know, I think that I am feeling so much gratitude for my family's living situation. I mean, we are okay. Like, we're able to manage economically. We live in a city where COVID safety measures are pretty well accepted among the people who live here, you know? So I have been spending a lot of time looking around at, you know, my sort of actual day-to-day life, being really, really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the time and reconnection with my husband. That is also very, very fortunate, because let me tell you, this pandemic, you know, quarantine time has been tricky for many, many marriages. And I mean, and ours as well. This has not been an easy time, but we have, you know, worked through a bunch of things that I don't know if we would have worked through had we not had so much time together and sort of been forced to work through it. So that's actually really illuminating and humbling. And then, you know, on a more just like mundane level, in some ways, I feel like the mental exercise of managing this new way to cook and grocery shop has been surprisingly like interesting. And I'm not going to say fun, but I have learned some new ways to cook. I'm cooking different food. I feel pretty proud of what I've done, actually. I think I'm a pretty good cook and better than I thought. So that's been sort of interesting. What about you?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that generally I think I've referenced on previous shows that I have appreciated some of the ways the systems have improved due to having to, you know, do things in a totally socially distant way. So there are some like mechanical things, like with like different businesses we want to support and the way they're doing things. And that has actually been kind of great. But otherwise, I would say, you know, this opportunity to really has really forced us, as you said, to kind of tune in what matters and do things a different way. I've seen that around the holidays, you know, really doing things the way that you want to do them instead of the way you feel like you should do them. That has been amazing. And, you know, it's interesting, the flip side of my sort of worst thing about the pandemic, you know, about not being able to see people the way you usually see them, is that I feel like I've been able to connect even more deeply with some friends and family, meaning that the limitations on what our usual contact looks like has really revealed like who you feel more urgent to connect with in a limited ways, how creative you get about that to make it happen. I mean, I don't know. I found that to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I've really, food has been a centerpiece, not always fun, but I'm also really proud of like our increased awareness about food waste and minimizing that and making more things from scratch, that kind of thing. And then, you know, the two big acquisitions, like one was James the dog, who has been like serious dog therapy. And anybody who wants to see his dog therapy, like, should go to Instagram stories, because that's where I post a lot of it. He's just a delight. And now that we're in a routine with him, he's about 9 months old, everything just feels easier. And then the
like
big
a whole thing, new life.
It's whole a whole new life. It
a
really
whole new
is.
Personality in your family.
Yeah, yeah. And then the big thing also, which this is the first time I'm actually saying it publicly, it occurs to me, is that we fulfilled a long time dream, like a 5-year dream, and acquired some acreage in Vermont. So that is a huge thing. And it's just sitting there at the moment. But that happened sort of unexpectedly and quickly. It was after years of searching, just saw the perfect thing and we jumped on it and we're like, oh my God, is this the worst decision ever? Like it was just at the beginning of the pandemic. But it felt right and we went with our gut and we're so delighted.
Yeah, what an amazing thing. I mean, and how interesting it is that this pandemic, you know, as you said, it has provided clarity about what's important, you know, in many ways. And I almost feel like the sort of extra space in life, it makes it possible to make some pretty big moves. I mean, and like you said, like, is this a crazy decision? But like your gut feelings seem clearer right now, at least mine do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that's great. I do know of other people who are just making big changes in their lives. I mean, in different ways. And it's like, well, you know, like life is different and I'm going to change with it, you know? So. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how, you know, how we all react to times like this. Some of us, you know, hunker down and change is not really on the, you know, on the table or in the cards. And for other people, you know, opportunities come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I love to hear that. Let's get a little more specific. Are there any fun, like, professional moments or developments that you want to share? Anything that happened this year?
Yeah. There actually were some very fun things, and I had to again look back on my feed to be reminded of what happened. But one of the most notable thing pre-pandemic was that I did my first speaking engagement with John in February. This was like the last flight that I took this year. That was at Dad 2 Summit in Washington D.C. It was quite peoply. It was the very other peoply thing. When I look back, that was like I think 2 weeks before shutdown. And so thinking back to all the hands I shaked and the hugs and everything again makes me a little queasy, but we survived. And out of that, in the summer, came John and my podcast. We launched Hello Relationships, our podcast. Oh, and I guess I'll make another brand new announcement here that we're doing season 2. It's coming in 2021.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I know. I'm just full of surprises today.
Well, I mean, geez, what a different landscape. Anyway, we'll discuss later.
I know. It's crazy, right? And then a couple of notable things that happened after the pandemic that were just like, I don't know, it's just been fun. One was I did my first live cake decorating demo, which I did for Mom 2 Summit, like on Instagram. And it ended up, I was like, I had never done anything like that. And I was like, this could be a total disaster, like live on the air. But it ended up being so fun. And some people said very therapeutic to watch.
I've never watched anything about cake on the internet. And I stood there watching you put frosting on that cake. I was like, this is the best.
It was very therapeutic.
And then I saw you make the cake. I saw you do it. And still at the end, I was like, how did she do that?
That's so funny. Yeah, it was really, really fun. And then, you know, I've still done a few speaking engagements, like from the comfort of my home, which has been awesome. Mm-hmm. And then what else? A big thing is we finally migrated. We're almost done. Our Brave New World Designs production to a third party, like production partner, which is huge because prior to that, I won't go into the nitty gritty, but basically Christine Coe was doing everything from our studio here. And it was both wonderful and totally exhausting. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge development. And then the latest thing, I guess, is I won live stream of the year. And apparently a trophy is on its way in the mail. So, which I have to say, I'm pretty excited about getting a trophy. I like trophies.
Trophies are amazing.
They are amazing.
There's a trophy. There's like this old style trophy, you know, engraving company in my neighborhood. And I just walked by and was looking in the window thinking, who could I buy a trophy for? Like, why would I buy a trophy and who could I buy it for? I mean, there are all sorts of crazy trophies in there.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, should I buy one for myself? Anyway.
You have a trophy. You're good.
I have a trophy, but I wouldn't mind another. But yeah. Anyway, the point is, it is great. And that was very exciting when you won that.
Thank you. Mm. How about you? What, any fun professional things that you want to make note of?
I'm laughing because the short answer is no. The longer
which
answer,
is fine.
The longer answer. I mean, honestly, I mean, I'm sort of laughing about it, but it's sad because I actually had some pretty big plans for new projects in January 2020 and actually had gotten started on them, some of which were somewhat literary. But then my dad went into the hospital on January 30th. And then so began my detour, shall we say. And so I have not done much official professional work this year. And besides this podcast and even the podcast, you know, with Christine's help, I had a massive, you know, break for a while. Like I took a big summer hiatus because I was really focused on helping my mom and everything that was going on with the pandemic. So where that leaves me is in foundation building mode. Like I am really, I think in some way starting from scratch. And that is not necessarily a bad place to be. You know, it's sort of interesting. My son turned 21. And my daughter is going to be graduating high school in 2021. So I am at like empty nest territory, right?
Crazy.
And so in some ways, you know, that's a sort of rebuilding time of sorts in its own way. So I think let's just see, you know, what's on the horizon for 2021. This has really been a year where I've been focused on family and focused on personal health and all that stuff. So. You know, we'll see. We'll see what's next.
Exciting. All right. Well, what about, you know, any notable fun personal moments you want to share? I know we talked about the musical, but
yes.
Are there other things?
Yes. You know, so they're just all, actually, there really are, you know, and it was fun to think about this. Believe it or not, one thing that I am most happy about is I planted this memorial rose garden for my dad. And I added this really special plant for my mother-in-law, who also passed away this year. And these roses are really special because these are actually roses from my parents' house, rose bushes. And my dad planted these rose bushes when I was a little kid. Mm. And so I grew up helping my dad water them, prune them, everything. And, you know, I am now in my 50s and those roses are still there. And my mom was like, ah, these rose bushes, you know, he planted them right next to the driveway. So you'd get out of the car and they would catch your clothes and they would rip your sweater. And it wasn't exactly the most genius design decision. So mom has been frustrated with these roses for 50 years and or however many years, 40 years. So I actually dug them up and brought them home and planted wow. them here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
So actual roses that my dad tended for many, many years are now in my garden. And that makes me happy every time I walk by. So a lot of my personal moments really have to do with gardening. I tried and failed to raise a vegetable garden from seed. I didn't totally fail, but I mostly failed, but it was still fun. And spending time with my mom has been, to me, one of the great highlights of this year. She was unexpectedly stranded here for 4 months during the spring lockdown. And this was completely unexpected and at the time felt like a disaster. And of course, now I think to myself, I got to spend the beginning of the lockdown with my mom, and so many people were, you know, isolated from their parents. So mm-hmm. I just now feel incredibly lucky for that time. I feel like our relationship completely changed in a wonderful way. And that's really amazing. And I think the last thing I'll say, this is pretty powerful, actually. My experience of this year has somehow or another quieted my inner critic. We all have an inner critic. Yeah,
that's
I know.
Huge.
That's quite a thing to end with. I think that'll be maybe the topic for another podcast. It's the biggest and most surprising development of all for me. I just feel, let's just say every morning that I wake up, I feel like it's a new chance to try something differently. And I'm not as critical of what has gone on in the past. So that's the biggest personal development.
Okay, we need to discuss that further.
Okay, we will.
At some
we
point.
Will discuss. Yeah, that's a big one. Okay,
selfishly because I feel a little bit the opposite, but okay, which I well, always think is fascinating. But
believe me, no one is more surprised than me. This just sort of happened. So we'll discuss. Let's hope.
Fabulous.
Hopefully, it lasts.
That's fabulous.
What about you?
I just have two quick things to share, which again I had to be reminded of through photos. But one was, this was kind of a big year in that this was my June marked my 20 year anniversary with John, my favorite human on the planet. And I just, I don't know, I like milestones. And so I remember really thinking about just all the people and moments. Like, there was so much that, you know, there's so much that has happened in the last 20 years or 23 since I've known him. So that was awesome. And then the other one I'm going to point out with a little smile on my face, because it was coordinating an end of the year parade for Violet's beloved third grade teacher, the one who loves basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, this was all happening after a very crazy emergency learning spring. And I think the reason I was smiling is because the joke around our house is that I was the classroom coordinator, which John did not even know until I coordinated the parade. He's like, "You're the classroom coordinator." I'm like, "Yes."
Don't you see this TR I'm wearing?
Exactly. No. That's not normally a role. I usually honestly shy away from volunteer things, but I did. I was the classroom coordinator, and I didn't even know if I was allowed to do this on school property, but we coordinated like a parade through the school driveway. And it was just really sweet. And I took pictures and made a Google album so people could get, I told all the parents, like, don't worry about trying to take photos. I'll take all the photos and post them up. And I made a cake that looked like a basketball with all the kids' names on it. So it was just, it was very cute. And I love that teacher and human so much. So it was, that was really like a highlight, actually.
Oh, yeah. And being able to do something like that for somebody you love who's done so much for you, for Violet, that must have felt so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really great. All right. Well, we have a couple more things, a couple more questions we're going to pose, and we will do that after a quick break.
As you know, I am all about micro improvements. And if you'd like to dedicate a little time each day to learn a language, I have a great solution for you. Babbel is a science-backed language learning app that offers 10-minute language lessons designed to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Materials are rooted in real-life situations, so you can learn important basics such as ordering food and asking for directions. Babbel offers personalized learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations, and their speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. No matter what level you are looking for, casual, intense, or something in between, you can enjoy app lessons, podcasts, and live classes from the comfort of your home on your schedule. Here's a special limited-time deal for Edit Your Life listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for Edit Your Life listeners at babbel.com/edit. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/edit. That's spelled babbel.com/edit. Rules and restrictions may apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit.
All right, friends, we're back and we're almost done, but we still got a little more like remembering to do. So, Christine, here's my next question. What were your favorite moments of advocacy?
Oh, boy.
This is a big year for that.
I mean, I think this was a big year for a lot of people. I mean, I think one of the things that sort of broke me was all the just horrendous, racial stuff that this country was dealing with. And so I think even though the moment with George Floyd kind of broke me, it also helped me sort of push the dialogue. And I ended up, I was silent for several days, which is sort of uncharacteristic for me. And then I just rolled up my sleeves and got to work and was really proud of some of that work that I was doing, having conversations online with people. I think, working the polls for the primaries and then the November election, that was huge. That was very different for me, very out of my comfort zone, especially given my anxiety about COVID. So that was a really big one. And then I think I'm saying this with a smile on my face, was you were the person who turned me on to Vote Forward, writing letters, and I became obsessed with it. And so obsessed that I started shooting video about it in my car while I was waiting during soccer. I called them my soccer practice office hours, where I would talk about letter writing. And I think the cool thing was just hearing from so many people after that, that they wrote letters, or that I was sort of stunned. There was one woman who said, you know, as an Asian woman, I've been sort of taught to like be quiet, and you have taught me that I can be vocal, and just like lots of moments like that where it sort of blew my mind a little bit. So it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome, even though this was a very stressful year.
Yeah.
How about you? You had a big year.
I did have a big year. I think that, again, I feel like I feel like I need to really do a deep dive and really almost have like a 4-year retrospective for myself of my advocacy work. But this year, you know, the two big things for me was, first of all, I co-founded something called Democracy Club. It's a model for political activism that works similarly to a book club, you know, just a small group of friends. Obviously has had to change for the pandemic, because we're not getting together in each other's living rooms anymore. But I wrote an op-ed about Democracy Club, what it is, how we came to, you know, found it. And it was published in my local newspaper. And that was part of a huge goal that I had, at the beginning of the year. And so to have that published at the end of the year, that was really powerful for me. So that is going to be something that I'm going to be really talking about and taking forward with me into 2021 and beyond. So I'll link up that op-ed in the show notes so folks can read it. It's just a short little essay, but really, really proud of it. And then the other big thing was creating and launching Vote Plus One, which was my voter turnout video series and podcast. That was just like an idea that came up for me, and I just made it happen. And it was a huge learning process for me, you know, with videos and Facebook videos and Instagram videos and YouTube and all these various platforms and how to do all that stuff. But it was really, it was just something creative, and it was a way for me to reach out to people that I've been talking about. You know, I've been talking about voting for years now. So in many ways, 2020 was, you know, the culmination of 4 years of work for me. And that is remarkably gratifying, incredibly gratifying. And also, you know, I got to say, it's a doorway to understanding how I feel connected to my own country. That's just not something that I really ever thought about before. And I think about it really differently now. So I know that going forward, it's going to be different for me.
Yeah. Yeah, for yeah. sure. And, yeah. and the work doesn't end, you know.
Yeah. like this year, yeah. So, you know. There's so much more I could say, but those two things really were special for me. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the last thing I want to ask you is, what are some things you can't wait to do once it's safe to do things again?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you know what? The top of my list is traveling, mm-hmm. travel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from the basic travel, like basically drive to California to go see my mom and help her with the house. That is the thing that I most want to do. And I am not doing it right now. And it's very difficult. You know, I want to travel to LA and see my friend, you know, my family. And I really want to travel to India to see my family there and to bring part of my dad's ashes back to India. That is something that I am just like, I can't wait to go do these things.
Yeah.
But beyond that, also just traveling and exploring, like just traveling for fun. I am ready for some road trips. I am ready to get on a plane. I'm just ready to go places again and be with people in the world, you know? And then the other huge thing is to participate in my kids' musical lives. You know, mm-hmm. I want to listen to my kids sing. Both of my kids are in choirs. They haven't been able to sing in choirs for all this time. You know, hearing them sing, hearing not just them, but the whole choir, like choral music. It's just powerful and amazing mm-hmm. and healing. And I'm going to listen to every single concert, live stream, everything I can. And I just can't wait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are the things.
Yeah. That's good.
What about you?
You know, I think obviously, yes to going places. Although I think, you know, some of it is just very simple. I just would like to see people's whole faces in person. You know, you see them unmasked on Zoom, but and I would also say hugging my mom. Like it's almost a little weird how regularly unlike you, my mom lives about 15 minutes away from me by car. So I have seen her very regularly, you know, doing grocery drop-offs and whatnot, but I have not actually hugged her since, you know, early March when everything happened. And I would just really like to hug my mom. The simple things, right? It's the simple things we appreciate. And then on a little more, no, it's not fluffy. It's not fluffy. I was going to say it's fluffy, but I would like to get my hair cut. I haven't done that since August 2019, just the way the timing worked out. And I would desperately like to get a massage. I think I shared on this show at one point that this year was the year that I was like really trying to get my sort of my self-care in order. And so I had scheduled like an every other month massage with my body worker. Like I booked like six of them out in advance. Wow. And I've just watched. Yeah, which was huge. That was like very organized for me. And so to watch them gradually fall off the calendar as the months have ticked by has been a little tragic. So I desperately could use some work.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a foam roller?
I do. I'm terrible at using it, but I do.
No, I'm not saying it can stand in for a massage, but it can help in the meantime.
Yeah. 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 Anyway. I mean, I've been doing my yoga regularly. I just having somebody, you know, it's kind of like going to therapy, like having somebody work exclusively on you is pretty amazing. So.
Absolutely. Especially like those hands on you. It's just, it's a thing, you know,
it's very loving, and she's definitely like a healer. So, all right.
That's powerful. I think the first time you get a massage, there's probably going to be crying.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Like even the idea to me of having somebody like that just makes me cry even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just that release. That just seems so great.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, this is perfect timing that we're wrapping up, Asha, because the house next to us is being renovated and the clanging is just about to start. So I'm good. So we might have some in our outro here. But what is your next edit for this episode?
Literally, ring out the old is part of my next edit. So, which
with
is
a dumpster to- with dumpster noise.
No, it is literally to plan a goodbye 2020 ritual. I mean, you know, it's funny. I am not a New Year's Eve celebrator. I definitely like, you know, getting fancy and eating caviar and all that stuff that people talk about doing. It's like, nope, no thanks. I'm going to get in my PJs and, you know, go to bed at 11. But this year, I plan to ring out the old. Let me tell you, I plan to stand on my front steps at midnight and like bang pots and pans or something.
All right there.
So I don't know. You might choose something a little more glamorous, a little less obnoxious. But honestly, I think that we should all choose something to really mark the ending of this year and celebrate crossing this threshold, you know, of time into a new year. Seriously, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. something to celebrate.
I agree.
What about you?
Well, I'm actually going to recommend doing something a little more sort of like every day. And although you could choose to bring some pots and pans with you, and that is to play something called High or Low regularly. This is something I picked up from an educator friend years ago, and it really just impacted my thinking. We do this at the dinner table almost every night with our kids. And you just ask everybody, what's a high and a low from your day? And I think that for me, the reason this is important is that one, it actually helps you get a window on like what's going on with your kids in a way that you'll just learn stuff. And then it's also just been a really good, like simple, not heavy-handed gratitude exercise, which has helped us, I think, kind of get through what's happening. So, you could do this, pick a high low from the year. You know, we've done a year in review here, but I actually encourage just like a quick daily touch point with it. Really, really helpful.
You know, and you have been doing this for so many years.
Years.
With your family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This was a really great opportunity to just think about things. So thanks for this, Christine.
I know.
This is awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, friends, you'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to the resources we mentioned, plus lots of great related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com.
And this week, we'd like to know, what do you want to bring with you into 2021? Hop over to facebook.com/edityourlifeshow and look for the question of the week pinned to the top of the page, or you can chat with us on Instagram at @edityourlifeshow. And finally, we wanted to thank you for spending this year with us. Your encouragement, feedback, and conversation have given us so much hope and comfort, and we hope we have done the same for you. This is our last regular episode of the year, and we'll be back after our winter break on January 14th, 2021. We wish you safe, healthy holidays and a hopeful new year. Thanks for listening.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.